to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Linda.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Long?
Here.
Councilmember Losey?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Zanzi?
Here.
Mayor Strell?
Here. There are some seats up front here if you guys would like to sit down. Okay. Before we move on, our city attorney has some words of wisdom for us.
Well, I'm not sure they're words of wisdom, but I have some words. This afternoon we noticed, I guess I'd call it a typographical error on the closed session agenda portion of tonight's meeting. The first closed session item is concerns labor negotiations, and the agenda references section 54957.8, and it really should be 54957.6. And the second two items are both real property negotiations. And your printed agenda says or references sections 54957.6 for both of those. And the correct section is 54957.8 for both of those.
Thank you. Moving on and proclamations. Tonight I have the honor of reading a proclamation to welcome home the veterans, Vietnam veterans. A lot of times when we do these proclamations, when it has something to do with the veterans, we usually allow Dean to do it because he's one of our more active veterans on the council. I am not a veteran, and I feel tonight I should read this because, I mean, not being a veteran, it's the people of the United States that are honoring the Vietnam veterans. Dean is a veteran of that era, so he's also honored in this. So this is coming from somebody who really wants to thank the men and women who served so that we could have the country that we have. This is a City of Fortuna proclamation in recognition of Welcome Home Veterans, Vietnam Veterans Day, March 30th, 2011. Whereas 2011 marks the 36th anniversary of the end of the American combat troops' involvement in Vietnam conflict, and whereas thousands of brave Americans served our country in this conflict with courage, honor, and valor, and whereas more than 58,000 individuals made the ultimate sacrifice in Vietnam, and thousands more were wounded in combat, and whereas families and friends of thousands of American soldiers must continue to endure the uncertainty concerning the fate of their loved ones who are remained unaccounted from the Vietnam conflict. Whereas we must never forget the debt we owe these men and women who have loyally served our nation in battle, and we must remember with honor those who so unselfishly put themselves in harm's way so that we may live in peace. And now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Doug Strell, the mayor of the City of Fortuna, along with the members of the City Council, do hereby proclaim March 30th, 2011 as Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day in the City of Fortuna and encourage every resident to take a moment this day to remember all the brave veterans of the Vietnam War. It is never too late to recognize the selfishness actions that the men and women who answered the call of duty and serve our nations. Signed this 21st day, March 2011, at the City of Fortuna, State of California, and here witness, therefore, the Fortuna Seal. And I believe, John, you're here to accept this. John Lang?
I'd like to thank the City of Fortuna and the City Council for this recognition for the Vietnam veterans. I have one thing, well, a couple things to say, but one, let's not forget our men and women that are overseas now. They deserve all the support and help they can get, and do not forget our MIAs and KIAs that gave their all for our country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving along, we have some presentations this evening, graduates of the Fortuna Police Department Citizens Academy. Chief? Chief? I wanted to catch you for something.
We have been very excited about their Citizens Academy, and we've had anywhere between 11 and 15, 16 people come to the class, which entailed one night a week for 6 weeks. And we covered multiple topics, everything from criminal law to a little bit of first aid, a field trip to the range, and canine demonstration, and demonstration of the different emergency response services that we have here in Fortuna. And not everybody could make it tonight, but I would like to recognize the folks that did come tonight and present them with a little token of our appreciation and a certificate of completion for that course. We had some spirited discussions during it, and I think it opened some eyes, and it certainly brought us closer to the folks in the community that we serve. I'd like to thank you for your attendance in that. Daniel Coleman, right there. Tom Harrison. M. Kasaka. Mike Pettit. Shane. And two more.
Paul.
Paul Westland. John Snowden. Thank you. Last but not least, Jessica Garcia. Thanks again, and if anybody wants to come see us to sign up to want to do some volunteer work, that's much appreciated. And if not, we'll see you around the community. Thank you.
Next presentation.
Our next presentation is received a phone call from a Lori Arias, who wanted to recognize Officer Charles Ellibrick for his assistance with recovery of a grandchild. And we'd like to have her come up and present a token of appreciation to Officer Ellibrick for his fine work with that.
Thank you, Chief.
I just want to thank Officer Ellibrick
for the support, all the help in bringing Nevada back home. She was taken November 13th last year. Mr. Losey was involved in it, which we thought would take 1 to 2 years. Blessings, she's home. Without the help of Officer Ellenbrock, I don't know what we've done. And I don't know what else I can do, but thank you very much.
You were there night and day, whenever.
Thank you very much. I'm just glad we could be there to help you. Also, want to acknowledge the assistance I got from Mike's office, U.S. Customs, San Francisco, yeah. PD, and agency, yeah. All kind of worked together, and I'm glad to.
Yeah, but I think you gave 110% in bringing her home.
Thank you very much.
And I appreciate everything.
Thanks.
Next on the agenda is comments from the public. Members of the public may be heard on any item of interest not on the public meeting agenda. Speakers address the council or the board will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Comments concerning the consent calendar may be heard at this time. Be advised that by law, the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency Board can only deliberate and take actions on items that are included on the agenda. So at this time, is anyone that would like to address the council? Step up to the mic.
My name is Al Dunnigan. I'm here representing the Humboldt Tea Party Patriots. That's an organization that I'm a member, currently serve as a member on the board. During the council meeting in November 15th of last year, our organization presented some concerns to the City Council regarding smart meters. We had some concerns about the safety and privacy issues, and we were sort of disappointed in the fact that the council elected not to take any kind of action or any kind of stand against smart meters. Although a large number of smart meters have been installed already, we think that it's still not too late to take a stand. Many counties and cities have already taken a stand opposing the installation of smart meters, and the number continues to grow. The Humboldt Tea Party Patriots has prepared a resolution against the smart meter deployment, of which I would like to provide a copy to each of you at this time. Please read it carefully. Give it your due consideration. We hope the resolution will help you have a deeper understanding of the privacy and health concerns that we have for this massive project. Whereas the new council reconsider the city's position on the smart meter program and delay the full implementation of the program until the very real public concerns are adequately addressed. I'd add that the same resolution was presented to the supervisors last Tuesday. They've elected to take a position on it. We had an email from Supervisor Jimmy Smith indicating that he was drafting a letter to the California Public Utilities Commission, urging them to hold off until the concern. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm here to protest the smart meters. I'm also a Vietnam veteran, Marine combat. And tonight we all said the Pledge of Allegiance. But few people fail to understand that they're pledging allegiance to the Republic, which is a nation ruled by constitutional law, not a democracy ruled by consensus. My name is Gene Owens. I live in Fortuna. My statement is not entirely aimed at the City Council. It's aimed at the other people in this audience. When I realized that smart meters are harmful to my health and privacy, I came down here to Fortuna City Hall to ask my local government for help. The lady at the front desk said, PG&E is an entity unto itself, and there's nothing we can do about it. Under your police powers In Article 11, Section 9 of the California Constitution, you can regulate PG&E's activities. When you remain silent, you give your consent. When local government interferes with a citizen's right to exercise his unalienable rights, it is a government tort and a violation of your oath of office to support constitutional law. If the city of Fortuna remains silent, they can be sued for civil rights violations. Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution directs that we, the people, have certain unalienable rights, such as protecting private property, our safety, and privacy. Under United States Code, Title 42, Section 1988, Congress has authorized judges to award attorney's fees to plaintiffs in civil rights cases. So there's not going to be any problem paying for these cases. Under the Federal Energy Act Policy Act of 2005, utilities are mandated to offer smart meters and to install them only upon customer request. There are citizens in Fortuna who have placed tags on their existing meters telling PG&E not to install smart meters. PG&E has taken these tags down, installed smart meters, and placed the tags back. This is not only outrageous, it's criminal trespass, which is a felony. People who already have smart meters they do not want can join a class action lawsuit at kirtlandandpackard.com. In closing, I would like to say to every city council member, you will receive in the near future a certified letter from my attorney. Thank you.
Rebecca Crosby, and I'm here to speak out against the smart meters. I spoke once before. I understand that you voted to go ahead with the smart meters, and some of you said you didn't even know that much about it, which I think is horrible because this affects our health, our privacy, and our lives, and you should be at least knowledgeable about what you're voting for. You were elected by us to represent us, and so I would like you to listen to what we're saying. I was never concerned about my microwave before, but now it seems I'm going to be in the microwave because all of these signals are going to be coming from everybody else's houses on their smart meters, going through my house, picking up my signal, going to the cell site, and I'm going to be in the microwave. Besides all that, their next step is putting smart meters on your appliances, so now we have more microwave radiation coming from the appliances in our house is what's going to be next. I mean, I can't believe that you wouldn't protect us, as was just said, your oath of office. This is not partisan. I have down State Senator Majority Leader, Democrat, Flory D. Democrat, Schaefer. He hand-delivered to the CPUC to place a moratorium on smart meters, rake heights, until the problem with technology is resolved. This was through Texas. In San Francisco, attorney Dennis Herrera calling for a moratorium on San Francisco, and the city of San Francisco requests a statewide moratorium. There's a moratorium in Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz, Marin County, Fairfax, Rio Del, San Anselmo, San Luis Obispo, Scarsborough. You can look at stopsmartmeters.com and get a lot of information about this. Please educate yourself. Please don't turn us into something in a microwave. There's also a lot of countries that have had these before us that are now trying to get rid of them and voting against them. Some of the countries are England and Spain and a lot of others back there. You'll see that on the website also. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Al Petrovich. I'm from Rio Del. And I want to share with you that I was there when PG&E gave the presentation to Rio Del. Four members of PG&E, and I understand why Rio Del put a moratorium on it. PG&E couldn't answer the questions, and they haven't done it to this day. They were asked to come back. They've never been back. part of it related to the 1996 Telecommunications Act that basically forbid the cities from considering environmental issues as to their location. And then in 1998, now this is at the federal level, so the environmental issues are shoved to the side. And then 1998, there's a rider that was added. And that rider did the same thing with all equipment that was to utilize the towers. So any equipment that utilizes the towers, they could not consider environmental issues. Now it goes to the state level. PUC decided to forget about the environmental review. So the gates are wide open. Here we are at the city and county levels. Show us your colors. Do your homework. And I think that has a lot to do with why Rio Del created a moratorium, because they could see that the gates were wide open. It's obvious they are. Do your homework. How can you do anything else? How can you not, at this time, stand up for the citizens until everything is worked out? What's the rush with the smart meters? Let's see that they're safe first. So I urge you, at this time, to create a moratorium for Fortuna, like Rio Del did, because it's obvious. It's obvious why it should be done. I thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council?
My name is Bob Payer. I live in Carlotta. I didn't come here to speak, but I have something to say. We're living in a country now where the government is taking over everything. And if you're not seeing it, you're not looking. And recently I watched the televised city council meeting here. And there were three of you who said in reply to the smart meters, "Oh, it's going to happen anyway. Why are we fighting this? Why are we bothering with this?" If you don't bother with these things, this is a small community. You don't have to be ruled by socialist governments. So you can see I'm a little fired up about this. But the impression I get is no matter what evidence is brought here, there are several of you who aren't going to pay any attention to it. And we're going to remember that. And I'm going to campaign against you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to address us on this issue or any other issue that's not on the agenda? Yes.
Since these smart meters have been installed and all, there has been a lot of evidence showing that it is not very safe, that it has ill effects. Myself, I am suffered from insomnia since my neighbors have all had their smart meters installed, and we've been told that, you know, well, we have to accept this because that's just the way it is. And when I went to the first meeting down at River Lodge back in December, there was a gentleman there that explained that PG&E had the option of installing other options besides this wireless technology, which there hasn't been a whole lot of studies done, long-term studies done on the health effects. And PG&E chose to go wireless because of profit motive. And they saw big dollars. They said it's a cheap way to do this, and the people are just going to get this because we're a monopoly, and there's no other choice. So what else can we do? And we weren't informed about the installation of these until about a week or so before it went in. And we're being told that, well, there are no options, and we don't really care about, you know, what you have to say about it because we're just going to put this in. And I feel really strongly against this because we don't know the long-term effects, but there have been studies in other European nations that have had studies, and it has shown that it affects your hormone levels and it causes brain tumors, especially in young children and elderly patients or people. And the microwaves are saying, well, is less than that of a cell phone or a microwave oven. But I said, well, we don't go around with a cell phone attached to our heads 24 hours a day and having these pulses through us. And there are some of us among us right now that are really sensitive to EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, and it is having a deleterious effect on our health. And I would just like to address the council and have them really look at the studies that have been put out so far about how this is affecting all of us and will affect us and perhaps kill us off, our children, especially children, because they're going to be really more susceptible. Their skulls are thinner than ours, and their developing bodies can't absorb as much microwave energy that these smart meters are putting out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, thank you for your comments. Could you identify yourself, please?
Zan, and I live here in Fortuna.
Thank you.
So, is there anyone
else? I'll make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to close public comment period. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? So closed. As you know, we can't deliberate or make a decision or anything tonight on this, but we did hear you, so we will read the stuff we got and go from there. Okay. Thank you. Moving on, Dwayne, do you have a report on disbursements?
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, and Chair and members of the Fortuna Redevelopment Agencies. This is an oral report of disbursements in this last action on March 21st, and it's a oral report. The city disbursements were $249,404.42, and the redevelopment agency was $662.54. There is no action required of the council. It's informational for you.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar, there are seven items on the consent calendar. These are routine in nature and are usually approved in a single vote, but any member of the council can pull a particular item for further discussion. Is there any items wish to be pulled?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to do number two.
Okay.
Number three, please.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to approve consent calendar items number 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Second.
It's been moved to approve consent calendar items 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So approved. Dean, you pulled number 2.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. If you refer to page 21, this is a consolidation of the building permit summary for the month of February 2011. There's been criticism of our building department and community development department not having any justification for having as many employees that we have, and I try when there's something to be made aware to the public of increases in fees accepted. I would like to make reference to February 2010, a year ago, roughly a year ago, the amount of cost for the construction was $138,000, roughly $139,000, and we received $4,000 in fees. For this last month of February 2011, we just about tripled the construction cost amount and almost five-folded the amount of fees. Instead of $4,000 last year, we had $20,000 this year. So it does show some signs of things occurring in our city. It's taken some little while for us to creep back out of the hole that we were in 2 years ago, and I'm glad to see the construction community out there doing something. So thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Dean. Any other comments on item two? No, moving on to item three, Mike.
Item three, page 25, please. At the top, it's general fund, and the second from the top down, it's interest, loans, and rents. And I noticed year-to-date actual is $52,744, budgeted $737,000. So we've got 3 months in the fiscal year. I think I probably understand the reasoning why it is so low at this point, but if we could have an explanation from either Dwayne or...
Certainly, I'm going to jump ahead, and if it gets really detailed, I'm going to have our finance director respond. But essentially, as with a lot of general fund revenues, they are not received in a linear fashion. In other words, they are not progressive by month to month. And we receive a great deal of revenue in the general fund overall in the latter two quarters, particularly the last quarter, taxes, property taxes being one great example of that. On the interest, loans, and rents, there are a number of loans that come to the general fund. Specifically, as an example, the redevelopment agency owes a debt to the general fund, and it's paid annually, and it's due on June 30th of each year. So we don't realize that revenue until the last day of the fiscal year, including also a loan that goes to the drainage fund, similar from the redevelopment agencies. There are others of interest and loans that become payable in essentially the last quarter of the year. So it's not unusual. There is a little bit lower, but if you'd noticed over in the percentage from the prior year, it's 21. So it's not an unusual event to see revenues not realized yet at this time. And since this is a cash report and not an accrual item, we don't realize, we don't put the number in until indeed the cash arrives, not just necessary when we anticipate it as you would in an accrual process.
Okay, thank you. And with regard to the projection, are we projecting that that estimated annual budget amount will be real close to that, if not?
At this moment in time, I have no concerns of any substantial amount that we will not realize that full $737,000. Nothing would indicate to me that that's in jeopardy.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the finance department?
I'll move to approve item number three, and might as well do number two as well.
I second the motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve item two and three. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So approved. Moving on to business items. We have two business items this evening. The first one is to receive the 2009-2010 fiscal audit reports and financial statement.
I'm delighted to have this report brought to you. This is, as you know, is an annual report, and it's we have two things going on, particularly in the finance department this year, already three, the ongoing operations of ours as we're maintaining accounting records of that. We have the forward-looking aspect, which is we're preparing the budget for your approval here in the next couple of months, but then we have this rearview mirror aspect where we looked at the performance of last year's, and this is the audit report that was completed and brought to you by our auditor, and you received the bound audits for both the city and the redevelopment agency. And this is an opportunity for our new finance director, Gary Chapman, to present the audit report to you. So, Gary?
Well, Your Honor and Council, I am pleased to present both these reports to you, which the one with the white is our comprehensive financial annual report, or CAFR for short, slang, and then, of course, the basic financial statements for our redevelopment agency, of which you are the board members for. To be fair and not to say anything out of place, these reports, as our city manager already mentioned, are historical data from our last fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2010, and we've had our financial activity audited through our current CPA, Terry E. Craig, and he completed this audit for us and has provided a statement, and I really like to read this part because it's the way it's worded. It says, for the city report, the auditor's unqualified opinion states that the financial statements present fairly, in all material respects, the respective financial position of the governmental activities, the business type activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of the City of Fortuna as of June 30th, and the respective changes in financial position and cash flows were applicable thereof for the year then ended in conformity with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. In short, it just gives us assurance that these financial statements are free of any material misstatements. we were not required to file for the single audit report this year. There's a limit, $500,000 in federal expenditures, which we did not obtain nor exceed, so we were exempt from that. And then a couple of highlights about our financials written in the agenda summary, that our overall revenues from governmental and business type activities totaled about $13.8 million last year, while our total expenditures were only $12.2 million. And then the general fund reported a fund balance of about $9.6 million, basically the cash, which is about a decrease of $41,000 from last year. And then I don't know if you want me to read through the rest of these highlights, but I'm going to pass this on, segue into the, I'd like to tell you thank you for listening and ask you to, what's the proper term, receive these reports. Do you have any questions?
Just a comment on the city's report, page 2. Under local economy. The second paragraph there indicates that there was an overall general fund deficit of 16% in a specific general fund sales tax decrease of 18% in 2009-10, and you expect that to carry forward in this current fiscal year that we're in.
Do I expect this to continue?
I believe that's what it says here, is these levels of decrease are expected to carry over in 2010-11.
Yeah, trying to read the specific, but you did say the second paragraph, in other words, the second bullet, that during
on page 2. City Council, February 20th, 2011, page 2 on the top. The point is that we're going to experience general fund deficiencies again this year, and they'll carry over about the same level as that we experienced last year, in the neighborhood of about 16 to 18%.
Okay. And honestly, I don't see where that's written in here, but I believe that that is correct.
There's no question. There's just a statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Caught me off guard.
All right. It's the introductory letter, if that makes it any better. Three-page letter.
Ah.
identified as page 2 at the top of the letter.
Okay.
And there's a paragraph entitled Local Economy, and those numbers are identified. So the importance of that is how we treat our general fund dollars in this year, this fiscal year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Do we have any other questions? If not right now, we'll open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on this?
Any high school kids?
Lessons in civics? Okay.
Move to close public comment.
Second the motion.
And moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed. Now we've got a couple items.
So is this an action item, Mayor?
Yep, we've got to do a voice vote on the city's receiving the fiscal report and the agency receiving it.
I'll go ahead and move to receive the 09-10 fiscal year audit of the City of Fortuna. And I guess we better break this into two here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's two groups.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to receive the 2009-2010 fiscal year audit for the City of Fortuna. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So received.
And I'll move to, well, unless somebody else wants to, I don't want to hog it.
You got the mic.
Receive the 09-2010 fiscal year audit of the Fortuna Redevelopment Agency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to receive the 2009-2010 fiscal year audit for the Fortuna Redevelopment Agency. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So received. Nice report.
Very good.
Moving on, the second item on the agenda is to provide recommendations to the council regarding a complaint received pertaining to the actions of a city employee. Our city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Unfortunately, this item is not quite as far along a process as I thought it would be, but I would like to tell you more than I was able to tell you at the last meeting. I did send a letter to the complainant concerning the question of confidentiality and have not yet had a chance to resolve that with the complainant. The more I thought about that from the last meeting until this evening, at least from my perspective, it's virtually impossible to look into the matter and make any serious effort to sort it out and resolve it without the complainant's identity being known. The complainant submitted the complaint on a form that was never intended for this purpose. There's nothing wrong with using that form, but I say it was not intended for this purpose because the form includes language that says that the identity of the complainant will be kept confidential. And the form was intended more for a code enforcement, a neighborhood nuisance complaint, where one property owner has a complaint about the neighbor's dogs or the height of the hedge or garbage accumulating in the backyard. And to avoid a situation where the complaining party feels that they might be retaliated against by the aggrieved, by the neighbor, the city makes an effort to keep the identity confidential. The building official or the community development department would take that complaint, and without revealing the source of the complaint, then city staff would go investigate and try to resolve the complaint. That's what this form is for, and in that context, it's generally quite easy to keep the identity of the complainant confidential. In this case, the complaints that are made are very much more in the political arena. This is not something that can be looked into without interviewing witnesses or at least trying to gather facts. And the gathering of facts can't help, I think, but identify the identity of the complainant and the identity of the city employee. So that's still an issue that is going to have to be resolved if the complaint is going to be brought forward. The city employee, who is the subject of the complaint, has indicated that it is his desire that any discussion of the complaints be done in a public meeting. Again, I don't know how we will talk about complaints without the identity of the complainant being known. So it's just an unresolved issue, and we can't really move forward until that is resolved. I did look at the complaint, and there are essentially 13 specific complaints, and I've kind of, in my mind at least, grouped them into categories. There are some complaints about the election code. There are some complaints about the municipal code, specific complaints about the Brown Act, the Public Records Act, for example. And if we're going to go forward and look into the complaints, it seems to me that we ought to try to deal with them sort of in those categories, because some of those categories are more susceptible to the city looking into the allegations and doing something about it. Other categories of complaints are by and large beyond the purview of the city. For example, the first couple complaints have to do with specific sections of the California Election Code, and the city has, in my opinion, virtually no ability at this point in time to do any meaningful resolution of that charge, if you will. The complaint has to do with things that happened in the past. We can't unring the bell. The election has been held. Whatever happened in the election happened. We certainly could say, well, we'll try, if something was wrong, we'll try to be better in the future. We'll try to learn from this. But there's nothing we can do to unring and remedy that allegation if it's found to be true. And I'm not suggesting that I think it is or isn't true at this point. There are other categories. For example, I've just taken the liberty of assigning a number to each one as I go down the list. And number 6 alleges certain violations of the Public Record Act and the Brown Act. And I would point out that in the California Public Records Act, it provides, and I believe this is an accurate summary, the provisions of California Government Code Section 6258 and 6259 provide the exclusive procedure for litigating a public agency's obligation to comply with a public records request. There really is no mechanism for the City Council to weigh in and determine whether or not a city staff person did or did not violate the Public Records Act. There is an exclusive remedy built into the state law. In much the same way, to the extent that some of the complaints allege a violation of the Brown Act, the Brown Act provides that if a citizen feels that there have been either past violations of the Brown Act or future violations about to occur, that the citizen is obligated to send what's called a cure and demand letter, that is, a letter putting the agency on notice that they believe there either was or is about to be a violation, and then the agency has 30 days to either correct a past mistake or to not hold that meeting in the future. The Brown Act provides for a 90-day statute of limitations. That is, you can go back 90 days and say, 89 days ago or 90 days ago, I think you did something wrong and you should fix it. The complaint is vague in respect to the Brown Act violations. It simply alleges various other violations of the Brown Act. There's no indication that they're within the last 90 days or beyond. But when you look at the other provisions of the complaint, there are several specific allegations that go back to alleged improprieties that occurred in November of 2008, failure to follow a council resolution 2006-25, which would have been a resolution adopted by the City Council in 2006, allegations of impropriety in January of 09, October of 10. And so there are a number of complaints that go back a number of years. So my suggestion, if we're going to do something and if we resolve the confidentiality, is to sort of lump things into categories so that we can at least see what remedies, if any, are available to the city. I should point out there are some allegations of violations of the municipal code, which are more clearly within our purview. So I think we develop some categories, and then my suggestion would be we define some time limit within which we might be willing to go back and take a look at things. I think it would be much less productive and much more complicated to go back, for example, to 2006 and try to recall through interviews with folks or records searches or you know, developing information about what somebody did or didn't do 5 years ago. Another issue that if we decide to go forward, I offered myself up last time to be the point person, and I'm still willing to do that if that's the council's desire. But if so, whoever might be looking into these complaints, I think should be given some degree of autonomy, and we should all agree that person has, at least at some preliminary stage, sort of the sole authority to conduct the inquiry so that there aren't conversations between different people on different times and different things are said. And whether it's me or someone else, we might end up sort of chasing our tail. Recounting what happened a number of years ago will be difficult enough, but if there's multiple players participating, I fear it may make it even more complicated. I told you last time that I could identify three options that you might want to consider in responding to the complaint. One is to do nothing. That is to trust that the Brown Act or the Public Records Act or the Election Code or that there is some other mechanism for resolving these complaints and it's beyond your desire or ability to do so. That has the advantage of being quick and cheap, but not necessarily, there may not be any other advantages, there may be disadvantages. At the other end of the spectrum, I think you might receive this complaint form and think that it's possible that there are some serious allegations, sort of where there's smoke, there's fire, and you might choose to hire an outside person to conduct an investigation. Could be an attorney, could be just some respected private person. I suspect that would cost $10,000 or $20,000 and would probably take several months. And I'm not positive that at the end of that process, the complainant or you or staff would look at it as the definitive answer that would resolve all questions. The Brown Act does provide, and if we go that route, if we choose that option, the Brown Act does provide that if the City Council is to hear specific charges and complaints against a city employee, that the employee has the right to ask that be conducted in public. and that if that right were exercised, then again, any hope for anonymity would go out the window. The middle ground that I guess I sort of recommended last time, and I would recommend this time, is that you direct me as a staff person to try to work with the complainant to first resolve the request for confidentiality. And if we get past that point, then I can do as I suggested, sort of lump together complaints that have common threads and do that both by subject matter and time period. And then we can sort of work our way through this. It's new for you, it's new for me, so we're going to have to sort of learn as we go, and we're going to have to do it in a, I shouldn't say we're going to have to do it, the law requires that it be done in a public meeting. I don't have the ability to go into closed session and talk with you about this. So my recommendation, I guess I rambled on, I would suggest that you direct me to work with the complainant to try to resolve the confidentiality, and once that's resolved, to then create a framework within which we can begin to look at some of these things.
Thank you. Do any of us have any questions of Dave at this time? Okay.
You mentioned 13 specific complaints.
Yes.
If we... For example, the Brown Act has a 90-day statute of limitations. So if we use that as a measure, how many of those complaints are removed from the list? Or does that make much of a difference?
It's not exact science. So I can't say one or two or three.
Okay.
The specific complaint that mentions directly the Brown Act is what I've identified as number 6. And it simply says various other violations of the California Public Records Act and the Brown Act. It does not say at any specific meeting or such a... So I can't say, well, if we set aside the Brown Act beyond 90 days, it eliminates one or two or seven or whatever.
So it appears the hurdle that we need to cross is the confidentiality aspect of this.
That's certainly the first hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we are in no position to hear either side of this case.
Well, if we're going to try to sort out some facts and sort of get a sense of what might have happened at some point in time about some particular issue, I don't know how we will do that without talking to people. And for example, Mike would know better than I, but, you know, in conducting an inquiry, you might have to talk to somebody and say, well, Doug said this. Do you think that's what happened? And that person said, well, I agree that's what happened, or no, I remember it differently. And pretty soon, people's identities and what have you become known.
So if we don't get over the hurdle of confidentiality, does the issue just drop? And what are the consequences of us saying, do nothing?
Well, I think I'm not prepared to say that if we don't get past that, the whole thing fails and we drop it. But I suspect we're pretty close to that. I just, without being able to talk to folks, I don't know how we could get our arms around what is being alleged, and, you know, certainly there may be the other side to the story.
So is there an opportunity, if that happens, for a lawsuit brought against the city that we would have to litigate against? Or,
well, you heard somebody tonight say they're going to sue you if you don't take certain actions. So there's always an opportunity for people to sue. I mean, what you've been presented with is what I would take as a legitimate complaint by somebody, and they're asking you to look into it and take it seriously. How you take it seriously different folks might see it differently. Somebody might really want to sink their teeth into this, hire an outside person, budget $10,000, devote 3 months to it, and come back with a 20-page fact-finding report. Somebody else might say a lot of these allegations really go to how the city staff person is performing, and that might be the subject of the council's annual review of that employee. Not to ignore the complaints, but you might decide there's a different forum where you want to look into those and resolve them.
So you mentioned money. We just made a statement earlier that our general fund pool is down from previous years, and we expect that to carry on this year. So a $10,000 to $20,000 outside consultant. Now, are we insured, REMIF? Do we have, the city have any insurance against kind of this? So come out of our general fund to hire a consultant and defend?
Yes, you have insurance. I doubt very much that it covers these kind of allegations. Certainly allegations that we've violated the Public Records Act or the Brown Act or the Election Code would not be covered. So, yes, it would come out of the general fund. And my suggesting that it could cost $10,000 or $20,000, I've not shopped around. But I think to bring somebody in that has some level of training or experience, they're not going to work cheap. It's going to cost some money. Maybe it's only $5,000. It's still money.
I just wanted to make sure you mentioned Elections Code, Municipal Code, Brown Act violations, and California Public Records Act. Are there any others, or were there just the four?
I think those are the four main bodies of law that the 13 complaints surround. There are other specific, like failure to follow council direction. That's not really the Brown Act. It's not really the Public Records Act. It's not the Election Code. I guess it's sort of the inherent relationship between the council and the staff. When you tell us to do something, we're supposed to do it. And the allegation is that the council directed the staff person to do something and it wasn't done.
Well, I think you've stated, as far as the dilemma here, the confidentiality of the complainant in regard to the other side, the person having the right to have this aired in public and have a public hearing. And I don't know how those two can be reconciled to move forward.
And I should point out, I don't know if I might have made things slightly more complicated. Attorneys sometimes do that. When I communicated with the complainant, I offered the opportunity to resubmit the complaint anonymously. Well, that, having given that more thought, I don't think that really resolves the issue. What we might get then is a piece of paper without a name on it. But if it's the same complaints, we still need to be able to interview witnesses and gather information and facts. And I think the identity of the complainant would still come out.
And I believe the person who's being accused has the right to be able to confront that person with specific questions and the ability to ask those questions.
I will offer my opinion. The worst case scenario is you're exactly right. And at the end of some process, you folks conduct a hearing in which you will act as some sort of arbiter of the facts. And you hear evidence, you hear testimony, and you try to sort out these 13 complaints. Did they occur? And if so, are they serious enough to warrant some discipline or some action?
I don't have any questions. I think we're just treading water and going nowhere, and we shouldn't do anything at all. Throw it out. let the person who was referring back to Phil Nyberg's comment about one time, tirade, ranting and raving. I think it's a handful of accusations when somebody was disappointed and decided to write them down and pinpoint it towards one of our employees. My direction is just to ignore it, throw it out, and if they want it refiled, refiled on the correct form, put your name on it. If you're going to accuse one of our employees, I want to know who you are. So at this point in time, I'm saying making a motion just to ignore it.
I think that would send a terrible message to our public if we ignored what they tried to tell us. I think we would be irresponsible in that regard. One thing that was said as we were going over the complaints is you were talking about you can't deal with election issues because it's in the past. I would say that all of these are in the past, so I don't know that that statement. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they are. I guess that's the nature of, somebody does something.
You can't complain beforehand.
You can't say, I know you're going to rob the bank tomorrow, and I...
When you said that, that just kind of caught me as not... I don't know what my word is, but anyway. As I try to think through these complaints, and I looked up some of the different codes and things, I think there are several where the city employee would have to be identified, but not necessarily the complainant, and I don't know if that's an option.
I think you're right. Some of the sections of the municipal code that are cited by the complainant I think could be treated as a neighborhood dispute, if you will, where we don't to resolve those complaints or those allegations, that the name of the complainant does not necessarily have to be revealed.
I don't know if we want to try to deal with some of that first and see what happens, or, Dean says he wants a new form and the name on it. Well, we all already know the name, so that doesn't change anything. I don't know what you meant by that, Dean. Anyway, I don't think we should just drop it. When a citizen takes the time to file a complaint, I think some of those items are pretty severe, and I think we should try to deal with it.
For me, I think that Mr. Schramberg's recommendation to allow him to work with the complainant to try to resolve the confidentiality issue and then to work towards some common thread and some common ground there, I think is a sound advice.
I'll second that.
I like that. Let's, before we do anything more in there, let's open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this matter?
This would have come to you in a closed session at the annual review had the Brown Act been followed. You are right. It struck me as very odd, the letter that you sent. I did not see how refiling it anonymously made any difference. So I'm really not prepared to speak because I did not know what Mr. Tranberg was going to say at all. I had no idea. So I can't really answer very many of your questions. I can tell you who, you all know who submitted the complaint. And I guess I can tell you why I submitted it with that little paragraph still on there. And it was to give all of you a chance to look at it and see it before it became public. And I beg to differ with you. I think this could have been handled, that you could have brought this to the City Council in a closed session. I believe that's true because of the nature of the complaint. Mr. Tranberg is dealing with it as a complaint against the city, like a claims, and it's not that. It's a complaint against one of your employees. And so a lot of the issues that he's brought up don't apply. I'm asking you to look at a complaint against the actions of the employee. And in order to take it seriously, I felt that I need to show that there was a broad basis for the complaint, not only over different subject areas, not only in the area that I was concerned about, this water tank issue, but also over time, that this is not something that has just sprung up because of one person, that there's not, in fact, there's not one complainant, there's not one person that has been affected by this. It's just that I happened to be able to do it. I had no, I wasn't an employee. I didn't have to worry about repercussions because I was an employee. I wasn't somebody that worked with the city. I wasn't somebody that did business with the city. I can tell you that when I was dealing with the tank issue, all those things were told to me. People told me that. I can't help you. Well, you know, that's a good idea, but, you know, I have something coming for the Planning Commission. I do business with the city. I work for the city. So I want to leave that. I just want to explain why I did it. I did it confidentially. Also, and that's actually, I go back to that, is because also I thought that the employee had a right to privacy also, the right to have it heard in closed session. And so if they wanted that, then I thought that I should honor that. And if that was going to happen, I didn't want it to be like the lawsuit, Egger versus unknown. You know, in fact, Mr. Tranberg saying Egger against the city again. And I had no part in any of those closed sessions that you had about that. Nobody came and asked me about it. Nothing. I was totally excluded from it. Whatever anybody would have said in those closed sessions, I've been in closed sessions. I know what is said about people outside sometimes. I hope that didn't happen. That's all I can say. Anything else? Oh, the closed session. This is a complaint against an employee. So what is the remedy? The remedy is, as Mr. Tranberg suggested, you do nothing. You let it go, see what's going to happen. That's one. If you do instead look at it and see something that needs to be done, then you either discipline or, God forbid, do go further than that. There is a procedure in the Brown Act for dealing with the with that issue. This is a complaint that would result in a disciplinary action. You can, under the Brown Act, meet and to consider disciplinary action. This is the first step of that. So, and if you do that, you can meet, and all it has to say is discipline, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have to name the employee. It doesn't have to do anything else. So I think there was a possibility of a closed session, but that's gone. The employee has said that they're willing to do an open session, and I'm perfectly happy with that. I am perfectly fine with it. I am an advocate for public, but I didn't want, again, I didn't want it to go in closed session, and I don't know. If it's in closed session, actually, that's fine with me, too. But whatever. Any questions? Should I keep? I think no. I'm finished. Mr. Tranberg, we do have a lot to work out. And one of those, unfortunately, is the suggestion that you investigate this. I think if we look at some of those, the complaints, I don't think that there's a problem there. Thanks. Sorry.
Thanks, Janelle. That last comment, Janelle, was that you don't think Mr. Tranberg should look into it? Is that what you said?
That would have to be looked at closely. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Look into it.
A couple of things. I guess we resolved the first issue, that threshold issue. So at least now that's no longer a stumbling block. Whether or not we could address this topic in closed session, I agree that the Brown Act allows personnel matters generally to be discussed in closed session. But what I'm talking about is way before anything is to be discussed in closed session. I'm talking about when tomorrow morning I, at your direction, start talking to people about the allegations. We're not talking about whether I think there's a nice little package that I want to present that you might want to hear in closed session unless the employee asks for it to be an open session. I'm talking about now how we handle this. When I offered to do this, I didn't rush in. I realize there are some inherent problems with a city person investigating a city person and these allegations. The only alternative, it seems to me, is we hire somebody from outside the organization. And you're perfectly, I was going to say you're free to do that, but it's not free. That's the point. You're going to hire somebody that does this for a living. And you'll be put on their list, and when it's our turn, they'll come to town and they'll interview people, and it'll be a fact-driven, fairly intense thing, I would think, and you'll be billed accordingly. That doesn't make it right or wrong. I just think it's fair that you understand that will probably take longer and certainly will be more expensive. I fully appreciate that. There is always the possibility that when a city staff person looks into a city staff person, there is the belief at the end that it was all just whitewashed and swept under the rug. You know, there's a procedure, I guess the chief left, but there's a procedure in state law that requires police departments to investigate complaints that citizens make about one of their own officers. And at the end of that process, I'll hazard a guess that 9 out of 10 complainants are not happy with the result. Well, you just had the sergeant investigate the officer. We knew he was going to say that the officer did nothing wrong. So I appreciate that the possibility that not all people will be happy with whatever I do certainly exists. All I can say is I work for you folks. I will do the best job I can. And that's all we can do.
Okay. Are we still open for discussion?
Yeah, we're still open public. We're still in public if we want, but you can talk during that if you want.
I realize there'll be a cost for your services also.
Yes. We're on the same wavelength.
Yes.
The good news is my hourly rate is considerably less than somebody coming in from out of the area.
All right, that brings the question, are there people in the profession that deal solely with this kind of issue for as an investigator or as an attorney, or did we just put an RFP out to all those attorneys that might be interested in handling this for us?
I wouldn't do that, but I doubt you're going to easily find somebody with experience in election law, Fortuna Municipal Code, the Brown Act, the Public Record Act. Certainly there are attorneys and others who are quite expert at the election code and investigations concerning the election code. And there are some that are very expert at the Public Records Act, but have no idea about election law. So I can't say that I've thought of a person or even a trade. You know, there are human resource people that are frequently brought in when there's an allegation of sexual harassment or some discrimination because they are more trained and experienced in personnel matters. This isn't really that. I think bringing in a lawyer isn't necessarily necessary and would probably be way more expensive than someone else. I mean, I suppose you could think about a respected retired judge or a mediator of some sort, although mediators don't always engage in fact-finding. They have a little different slant. But, I mean, there are people that are out there that are available for hire that are in the business of trying to resolve disputes and sort things out.
I wonder if the League of California Cities has a council that could help us on this.
I certainly could inquire of them.
And there are investigators out there that are well-versed in administrative investigations that we could hire to do the investigation and bring those results back to you or to us. I don't know that we're at that point, though, to talk about those kinds of things. I think it would be important still, now that the confidentiality issue has been resolved, for you, Mr. Tranberg, at our direction, to sit down with the complainant and find out exactly what the issues are here, because in reading the complaint, it's rather broad. They're not, some of them are just, there's no specifics to them. If there isn't anything that's going to happen, even if there is an investigation, then why would we spin our wheels, so to speak, in looking at those kinds of issues? I don't think that that's necessary. So I think we need to more focus on specific complaints and what those are. And the only way I know to do that at this point is for somebody to sit down with her and find out what those specific issues are. And I think, at least in my opinion, and I know that that won't make Janelle happy, but I think that maybe that would be something that would be best done by yourself and she.
And if I do that, I could perhaps come back and sort of have prioritized at least what, in my opinion, are kind of current issues that we could sink our teeth into. As Councilwoman Long indicates, where all of these have some element of the past, but some appear to be sort of ongoing or have the possibility of being ongoing. For example, I think the municipal code violations are a little more forward-looking, whereas the allegation that something was done wrong in 2006.
And there might be some additional information to come from the complainant with regard to that particular issue. It might be that the ordinance was passed in 2006, but there's a current issue that she's actually speaking of. So that, you know, there's a lot here that I think needs to be focused and some information that you can obtain and then bring back.
Janelle?
Thank you. I agree, we don't need to hire an investigator. I have no vision of investigations. Again, I'm going to tell you that this is a complaint against an employee, that each of you are perfectly capable. I am not an attorney, and I was perfectly capable of looking at all of these issues and saying something's wrong here. On the complaint itself, I said, I'll give you more information, I'll give you supporting information, and I've been working on that. And I have some. I don't have to give it to you all at once. I have been working very diligently trying to get each one of these things into a one-page or less statement with a couple supporting documents. And that's it. And that's all I'm asking for, is for you to look at it. Again, Mr. Tranberg, some of these items, Mr. Tranberg, you could have been involved in. The complaint could have been against you also. So I honestly, I'm sorry that you play a role in some of these. And if we can separate them out and I can go through and pull those ones out, then maybe the other ones, if the city wants you to look at them, that'd be fine. But there's a couple that you play a role in, that it's not a matter of at the end of the day because you work for the city. It's not that at all. If it was, all of these people have a have an opinion of me. All of these people, some of these have great political differences with me. There's lots of things, but the system is I have to, you know, they're the ones that have to make the decision. And that's what I've chosen to do, and that's what I accept. And if you choose it, if you ask another employee to do it, then that's fine, as long as they were not involved in the issues themselves. Another city employee, although your city employees are awfully overworked to deal with this. So actually my idea is, and I will throw this out, is that if I get you the stuff, you all, Mr. Tamber can double check this, you can consider it yourself. You can do it in closed session. You can go through the stuff and hash it out. All I ask is if the employee is there, that I'm there also.
Thank you, Jenna.
Mr. Mayor, if I might. I'm concerned that we got a complaint about one employee, and when I've offered to assist the council in looking into it, now the assertion is that I'm in the middle of some of those complaints. And, you know, I can't investigate myself. I know I'm good. But, you know, in all fairness, you wouldn't want a report from me that says I was perfect. So now I think we're back to square one. And all I can suggest is let me make some phone calls, see if I might come up with a name or two, a budget or two, some ideas. There really are no other city employees that have the job description, receive this kind of a complaint, and when you're not doing building inspections, look into these things, for example. It's going to take somebody with some degree of training and skill. As far as it being done in the Brown Act, the Brown Act says that employee performance evaluations and discipline and hiring can be done in closed session unless the employee requests it to be done in open session. Having talked to this employee, he has requested and will request that it be done in open session. So the option of doing it discreetly in a closed session does not exist. I would also point out that this employee has a contract with the city that allows him to hire an attorney at the city's expense when certain allegations are made. A number of years ago, when Debbie August was the subject of some investigation, it sort of became common for city managers and perhaps city attorneys and others to feel a need for some defense when allegations are made. And so the farther this goes and the bigger it gets as the ripples go out, the expense meter is going to keep running. What I'm suggesting is, and maybe Ms. Hager can help, if we can kind of keep focused, I can just say for myself, debating what happened last November doesn't hold a lot of promise or excitement for me. Whatever happened, happened. I can't undo it, right or wrong, it happened. If we did something wrong, can we be better at the next election cycle? Sure. I just don't know what we could do to remedy that kind of a complaint. And so to me, that would be a little low. That'd be quite a bit lower on the process. I would rather, and I'm only speaking for myself, devote the energy to more ongoing things where we could have an impact on the relationship. And to me, those are more the municipal code kinds of complaints than something that occurred years ago. So my suggestion now has changed. I mean, you might have noticed I was not rushing in and saying, would you please hire me? So let me take a step back. Let me see if I can find a few names of what at least I would consider to be respected folks retired judges or fish and game wardens or, I mean.
Don't trust that.
You know, maybe I can find a name or two that you might consider.
Well, and if I understand Janelle's offer that, you know, to bring these items forward to the council, I'm not sure that that's the best route to go. I mean, in all fairness to the employee, I don't think that that should happen.
Well, I think, you know, you certainly know from the line of work that you're in that there are frequently two or more sides to a story, and not all witnesses have exactly the same recollection or perspective. And, you know, I staff is not at all opposed to anybody giving the council anything, but you're all busy folks, and for you to sort through it and try to understand it and then sort out what's there is something that typically your staff helps you do.
Not something that we would want even to get involved in.
Yeah, the allegations, reading through them, are vague, and they need a lot more meat on the bone, so to speak. And it sounds like we have an amended complaint tonight against another city employee. So that pretty much, in my mind, puts you out of the running for the chief investigator on this issue. So
thank you. I don't mean to make
whatever it costs. It's going to cost to do this right for the employee and for Ms. Eggers, but when it comes time for the budget, we'll just have to adjust the figures accordingly.
I agree. I think at this point, if you could bring those names back to us, several options.
I hate to spend taxpayer money, but I also think we have an obligation to the public to investigate when they make a complaint. So if we can't do it as a council in closed session on our own, then I guess we have to hire somebody. Okay. Is that a possibility of having more information presented and going through some of the points in closed session before we hire somebody, deciding which ones we could maybe deal with, which ones we want more information on?
The employee has indicated that he chooses to exercise his right under the Brown Act to have any discussion of specific charges heard in public.
So can we do
it is not an option.
So can we do the same thing in public then if we get more information and go through it and figure out which ones we want investigated and which ones we want to maybe say, well, we don't feel we can do anything about this one, but let's hire somebody to investigate A, B, C, whatever, so that we're not spending money on the ones that we think should just that are vague, that we can't, that we don't feel like we can find anything.
If Ms. Eger is able to submit a page or two on each of the 13 complaints, then that might be of great assistance in at least getting a sense of what you could or couldn't do about the 13 complaints.
Some of the complaints we can handle ourselves.
That's how I feel. I don't think we need to hire somebody to investigate every single one. So maybe we should narrow them down to what we want someone to hire someone to investigate.
And I'm not in any position to offer an opinion.
Yeah, right. Anyways,
I have the same two pages that you have and not much more.
Well, as long as those pages are, you know, the information is very direct, succinct. Yes.
Well, and if we can't do it, we say we can't do it, and we'll hire somebody.
Yeah.
But we could try that first.
If we're going to do that, just so I'm clear, do I play any role as an intermediary or assistant in some way? Or is Ms. Eger going to give each of you a packet with information that...
Well, if it's going to be open session, wouldn't she just submit it as part of the agenda?
Well, not if I don't get it.
You put.
I mean, I'm not clear exactly how this is going to work.
Who puts the agenda together? Because I don't know that. Linda. So can she bring it all to Linda and she puts it in the agenda packet or what?
If she's willing to do that, sure. We invited Ms. Eger to submit stuff to you, and that's fine. I just want to clarify. Do you want me to also get that and be able to help you going through it, or because I might be part of the complaint, you want me to stay out of it?
Well, yeah, being you are part of the complaint, and it would taint any outcome or recommendation that you would make. So we need a separated party here. Cheryl's
open. Yep.
As the city's personnel director, we go through similar processes like this on a pretty regular basis. And what we would do is have, in this case, the person wants an open meeting. It doesn't have to be a council meeting. It can be a special meeting with just this as a topic. And in this case, the complainant would present their information, and the employee would present their information just to you. Either one can have an attorney present or a representative present, and you would get that information and then decide what you wanted to do from there.
Would that information be given to us ahead of time like our agendas are, or would it just be at that actual meeting?
When we do it in personnel, it's given to you at the meeting. And then you don't necessarily have to make a decision on it right at that time, but you would, that way the people are facing each other, they can say what they have to say, ask questions of each other. You can ask questions of either them or get clarification. Just a suggestion of how we do it on a routine basis.
Well, it might be better to have a special meeting than to take up a whole night of agenda, you know.
Right.
Sometimes our agenda takes a while, and if we don't get started on that till 8 o'clock, we could be here for a long time, which I can do that if that's what we want to do, but maybe a special meeting would be better.
Yeah, a special meeting would be good. There was one time when I was on the council, we had one of the, we ended up having to make a decision on an employee, and as a council, we should have some sort of representation to keep us informed on the legalities of personnel issues, because we don't want to step over any boundaries when we're dealing on personnel, because there are some state laws and stuff, what we can say, what we can't say. So I like the idea of getting the information, having a meeting together, and us making the decisions without having to hire everybody. But if David is no longer our attorney, we probably should look for somebody that would could give us the advice that we need before we sit in judgment on this thing, too, especially if there's going to be other attorneys in the room.
Now we've taken another unexpected turn.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, but it's getting worse and worse by the minute. Because now the assertion is that I'm in the middle of some of these complaints, really I can't represent you folks.
Right.
So first, we need to find a lawyer that will represent the city council. I suppose we've been very discreet in not naming the city employee, but I guess, well, let me just say, the contract with that employee says, in addition to that required under state and local law, employer shall defend, save harmless, indemnify employee against any tort, professional liability claim, or demand or other civil legal action, whether groundless or otherwise, arising out of an alleged act or omission occurring in the performance of the employee's duties. I believe you will get a demand from the employee to pay for his lawyer. So now you're going to have two new lawyers coming in. I don't know if the complainant will want a lawyer, perhaps feeling a need to have equal footing or what have you. She will want to hire a lawyer, and the lawyer or somebody that I've been talking about up to this point was not so much a lawyer as a fact finder. So, I mean, we're talking about hiring a bunch of people at considerable expense to the city, and I can say this because I'm a lawyer. Nobody ever hires a lawyer because they want problems resolved quickly and cheaply. I mean, I would just hazard a guess. You're talking about 3 or 4 months and multiples of my earlier opinion as to what it would cost.
Janelle?
Mr. Tranberg, could you read that part of the contract again? It talked about lawsuits and torts and all kinds of really scary things, but I'm wondering if we're talking about any of the things that you... So could you read it again slowly?
In addition to that required under state or local and local law, employer shall defend, save harmless, indemnify employee against any tort, professional liability claim or demand, or other civil legal action, whether groundless or otherwise, arising out of an alleged act or omission occurring in the performance of employee's duties.
Pretty clear.
I haven't filed any action. There's no tort, there's no civil action, there's nothing at this point. At this point.
Exactly. I appreciate there is no lawsuit filed now. We're setting in motion certain things over which we are quickly going to lose all control. And sometimes that's okay. I'm simply pointing out that if the employee feels that there is this kind of exposure in his mind, not my mind, not Ms. Hager's mind, not in your minds, if he believes in his mind that there is this kind of exposure, he would probably be well advised to get a lawyer right now and start getting organized and prepared, because what is going to come in the future is unknown.
It keeps growing. If we were to take this complaint in the form of somebody getting up in public comment period and giving us information, if we were to get all this information clearer to us, could we handle it in as a council under evaluation? Or because it was a written complaint, it has to be handled as a complaint, or could we just take it under advisement when we decide on how we evaluate the person?
I think the Brown Act is clear. You are certainly entitled to evaluate your employees in closed session. You can evaluate my performance and say I'm doing a good job or I'm doing a crummy job and you want me to improve here or there or what have you. That does not involve specific charges or allegations. In this case, you do have specific allegations and charges. And I don't know how you could meet in closed session and say, well, we're simply evaluating the employee's performance, but we're not hearing or evaluating specific charges. That's the whole nature of what you've been presented with, is specific charges.
Even though they remain to be vague in nature.
Well, some of them are very specific. Some are quite vague. Some are very specific. For example, failure to follow council direction in resolution 2006-25 regarding sending notices. That was the resolution that this council adopted 5 years ago, setting the public, well, some of you adopted 5 years ago, noticing the public hearing to set water and sewer rates. And that resolution, among other things, directed the city manager to send out notices. So, I mean, that one is, I'm not sure exactly what the allegation is, but I mean, that's somewhat compact, and we would think we could quickly and easily develop information whether notices were sent out or not. Now, under Prop 218, if the notices were improper, the time for doing anything about it has long since come and gone. I think it's maybe a 3-year statute. So again, I mean, we could throw ourselves on the sword and say we did it wrong and we'll do it better. But in terms of what happened then, we can't really unring the bell. Well, let me just say, so we don't go on forever, I still think that the most promising thing at the moment is for Ms. Eger to try to, as concisely as possible, put her thoughts together. Who it gets presented to, we'll kind of figure out later, but somebody's going to have to know what the substance of those things are. And let me come back with a couple names.
Dennis, do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, Dennis went 1616 Newburg. And one of them was just what you said. Have Janelle come in with, you know, an amended complaints that are specific. And I don't know whether we don't need to be hiring, you know, I don't think we need to be hiring attorneys right now. I think that it sounds to me like she's willing to work with the city, try to get these things resolved. And so maybe a suggestion would be that she sits down with, you know, the police chief or one of the sergeants or somebody like that that isn't a part of this, but is still a city employee, get these things to them, and then how they get to the council. And like I say, Mr. Tramberg says, you may have to have somebody to give you advice on how to handle this thing. But I don't think you need to hire a couple attorneys to spend thousands of dollars on this thing at this point. Right. I think there's a way to get to a solution without doing all that. Just a suggestion. I just think that before we get this thing blown out of proportion, that, you know, she would get the complaints specific. And like I say, have somebody that, you know, that works for the city, such as a sergeant or the chief, to look at this thing. Maybe there's somebody else that, you know, you can think of. I don't know, but I just think that there's probably a better way to start out on this thing right now, without throwing a bunch of money down the drain. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I like the idea of Janelle can get her information together, and maybe the chief of police would be the one to receive it. We do have some investigators. We have a detective or a sergeant that might be able to. I don't know if that's a good idea or whether we should get the packets and we decide after we read it. That's where we got looking at.
We have an assistant city manager that's in the business of doing human relations type, human resources type investigation. Mm-hmm. Maybe Cheryl would be the conduit between Janelle and us, so we don't have to involve Mr. Tranberg until it's necessary to get an attorney.
That satisfactory to you, Janelle?
You put your specifics on each of the 13 complaints in a concise statement, trying to be as detailed as possible in a few words, more than you have here, and then deliver those to our assistant city manager that can put those in a special meeting agenda packet for the council to review. Does that seem like a...
That seems feasible to me.
Sounds like a good starting point to me.
Okay. If that's the case, let's do some procedural things. Let's close public comment.
I make a motion to close public comment.
Second. We moved and seconded to close public comment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then now, do you want to make a motion with that direction, Ken? Because here it says to direct the attorney. We're just going to...
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we don't have direction over city staff other than the two employees that we have here.
We direct...
Perhaps without a motion, think I heard the council say is when Ms. Eger has her information together... She will present it to the assistant city manager, who will make sufficient copies and distribute one copy to each of you. Where it goes from there, I think, is not as clear. But at least for starters, that'll be the way the information travels to the five of you.
Okay. And by our next meeting, you'll have maybe some other legal people that are, you could give us names if we do decide we need somebody?
I was thinking maybe as an alternative to that suggestion that I made was Mr. Wentz, that okay. Janelle provide information to the council, at which time you might decide you do or don't need help.
Okay. Go from that
point. Go from that point. That sounds good.
So there's no motion. That's just an understanding.
It's a consensus.
Consensus of the council.
I'll have the minutes reflect that the council asked Ms. Egger to provide clarification for complaints to the assistant city manager.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. That way we're not...
And what I heard was that she was going to put them together into an agenda packet for a special council meeting. Did I hear incorrectly?
That's the words I said, yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't.
I don't know if they all agree to it down to my right here.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear you say it, so I wanted to. Yeah. I just heard the agenda. What Linda said had only went as far as me getting you the getting the information. So I just wanted to make sure that it was all in and out.
Can see all kinds of pitfalls in this entire situation.
So if this is going to be presented to the council in a meeting for you to consider, does staff have an opportunity to present information? And if you have questions about the information that you receive from wherever you receive it, might you want some advisor to help you sort through it and determine the significance of what you've received?
Is there any downfall to receiving it all, going over it individually, and then just having that as an agenda item to decide what we want to do, how to proceed?
Well, I suppose the downside is you're going to apparently receive information as to why Ms. Egger believes there was a violation of the election code. And apparently, you're not going to receive any input from city staff why perhaps city staff does not think there was a violation.
However, it's more providing additional information on the complaint that's already been filed. So it's just giving us some, providing us with additional information. It's not that we're making up our minds or making a decision at that point as to exactly even what direction to go, whether we want to hire somebody. It's difficult, though, to make up our mind if we don't know the substance of the complaints. If there is substance. If there isn't, we might look at the complaint and say, forget it, we're not going to look at it.
So I think what we're saying is we want to get the information, we want to read through it, we want to have it on the agenda to decide at that point, like Mike just said, whether there's sufficient information that we want to go forward, if we want to pick 8 of the 13 things to go forward on, or what we want to do at that point, and then decide if we want to hire somebody or how we want to deal with it.
Once we take a look at it, then I think we'll have a better idea whether we want to hire an attorney to represent us and give us direction at that point, or exactly what to do.
And you guys have to know we're not going to do anything without having two sides of the story. I think that's just an unspoken responsibility that we have.
Well, I'm not going to be able to participate.
Right.
And the employee is entitled, I believe, to his own advocate, not necessarily a neutral city staff person trying to present information, but he's entitled or may be entitled to an advocate, which is different than let me help you sort this stuff out.
Special meeting might not be anything over and above acknowledging acceptance or receipt of the material from Ms. Egger and then giving direction as to we do need representation and let's see if this particular person would represent us.
And the special meeting wouldn't make any decisions on the information we received that night. because that would have to be both sides giving us a full, so it would be just them.
Well, you will be making some decision if you look
at proceed or not.
Well, if you look at 13 packets of information and you decide you think there's some merit to five of them, then to some extent you have made a decision, not the ultimate decision, but you've evaluated the materials that you've received and come to some at least preliminary opinion as to the significance of what you've been presented. If you have somebody that represents you, that person might say, oh, I think there was sufficient evidence presented on all 13. Or maybe that person would say, I only see serious allegations and some facts to support one of the 13.
I don't think we're going to do anything different at that special meeting than we were asked to do tonight, is just to give direction on how we want to proceed. And that's what we were asked to do tonight. I don't see how it's any different. Am I missing something, or is... adding another step for some clarification.
Missing, the part that we're missing is we're only hearing one side of the issue.
But we were asked to give direction tonight based on one side of the issue.
Yeah, to investigate. But now, in public testimony tonight, an additional allegation came up against our source of representation. So we now have two employees that are indicted in this complaint.
Still have to give direction at some point, and we still need more.
We don't have anybody. Direction. We don't direct staff below our two employees. So, who do we give direction to when our employees are the focus of the complaint?
So, by getting the additional information, we don't give direction. We're just going to decide how we want to go forward. Right?
Apparently.
we're asking for clarification on those particular accusations. That's what we're asking for.
So is the stumbling block that the employee does not have representation and that there is concern that the employee should have representation at this meeting? Is that the stumbling block, Mr. Tramberg?
Well, that's one of the stumbling blocks.
The complaint does not involve Mr. Tramberg directly. What I said is that he is a key player in a couple of the items. So if for the purposes of this meeting we could proceed, let Mr. Tramberg come and advise the employee. And then at that point, you can decide what to go next. Unless that won't work.
No, he can't advise the employee.
He's our advisor.
He's nobody's advisor.
Right now, he's nobody's.
Okay, so the employee is entitled to choose his own attorney.
Okay.
That's right.
Not me.
Okay.
No.
So he's entitled to do that if he wants to. And because I have been mentioned as having some involvement in some of the complaints, I have no idea which, but I think it would be best that I not do the fact-finding investigation.
Sorry.
And I think it's required that I not advise you on the sufficiency of whatever it is you're going to receive from Ms. Eger, because certainly the allegation then can be made that I told you that there was no validity to charges 1, 3, and 5 because I can read between the lines and those are the ones that somehow I'm involved in. So at this point, other than helping you find people to do these things, I've pretty much...
And I think what we should do then is we should have Janelle go ahead and give us a clearer picture of what she wants. And at the next meeting, you can come back with a list of people and we could decide on who to get to advise us, and then that would be the next step. I don't know which direction to go at the next meeting then, maybe.
So basically we'll read the information.
We'll get the information just because it'll be a complaint. It'll be a completed complaint, but we need to have advice on them.
And we won't discuss the information at all. We'll just ask.
Just like we did tonight.
Okay.
Basically. And we'll... Because we have the complaint, but it isn't complete.
So the next meeting will just basically, it's complete, but it's not detailed. And with a more detailed complaint, we're one step closer to being able to start investigating these things, but we need some advice on how to do that, right?
How to do it or whether to
do
it.
Or whether to
do it. Whether to do it.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's, I don't think it's any clearer than when we came tonight. At least we're going a little bit further. We've got to resolve this. There are complaints that need to be taken care of. And that's one thing we did notice, that there really isn't a clear procedure for this type of a complaint. So in some of our workshops, we might have to have this type of a complaint. We have all kinds of procedures for other complaints through, but for when it comes to this level of staff, we don't have a procedure. So that's part of the problem we have right now, too.
And I think it would be okay to leave it up to the mayor whether we have a special election to address those issues with regard to the clarification that were provided, or if it's done in the next regular meeting.
You mean a special meeting?
Call a special meeting. We'll see. Okay.
I need to find out, though, are we still, the record's still going to reflect Ms. Eger clarifying her complaints and giving them to the assistant city manager? Is that where we're still going with this?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to go on record. I said do nothing.
I'm not positive that I can get you names by your next meeting. I mean, I will certainly do my best. But, you know, I don't know what people – first, I have to kind of get creative and then call people and see who's perhaps available or interested. So we'll do it as quickly as we can.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's move on to city manager's reports.
Oh, here we go. You have received my written report this evening, and it deals with the schedule of regular council meetings as well as two special council meetings that we have planned. One is Monday the 19th. The special meeting is Monday, the 19th of April, and that was agreed upon when the council. Wait a minute. Monday, it isn't Monday, is it?
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. I apologize. I got used to saying Monday after another. That was the agreed upon date when the city council held its last workshop session on various goals and policies. And we agreed to be back together and have a similar session follow up on a number of those items on Tuesday, April 19th. That's at 6 o'clock. It'll be here in the council chambers. And unless I hear otherwise, we will set it up as the same format around a circular table. I thought that, from my perspective, I thought that worked well. So the other special meeting is the water and sewer rates, and that would be proposed for Monday, May 9th. As we've been digging through more data and trying to get additional clarification of our customer database and to accurately project the future, we have found a couple of little anomalies that we think is important to deal with. Long story short is we want to make sure it's right, and so May 9th is the earliest time that staff is going to be able to present those to you, and that would be in a workshop session here in the council chamber.
Dwayne, I'm out of town on that day, and I don't really want to miss that.
You are out of town. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this discussion. So May 9th is we wouldn't want to do it without your presence. I mean, I need all five of you to participate in those deals. I guess what we could do is I could send out a circular and select a couple of others because I didn't give you other alternatives tonight, and I don't like to just shoot from a calendar I don't have seen other congestions with, because in May we start getting really busy with presenting budgets and items. So it's better to do it on a night. So let me circulate by either phone calls or what have you and find your availability as council members, and then we'll set that date.
I'm out of town from May 4th to May 10th.
Okay.
And I'd need some time to read whatever
is
in it. So we couldn't do it, you know, on the 11th. I wouldn't have time to get the information unless I got it before I left.
I understand.
Yeah. So.
Thank you. Does anyone else have conflicts around that time? Good. I think we can organize something that would still occur in May. Thank you. I don't have any other items to share with you this evening. Other than I can say you probably heard the state legislature has been trying to take some action about the future of redevelopment agencies, and I'm confused, even though I know the details in great nausea almost. It is an unusual process, particularly with the budget this year. My point is we as a small redevelopment agency really have no voice that can be heard, even when we have local advocates strongly lobbying Wes Chesbro, and even when he knows the details of the items, he still will vote no against, essentially abolishing redevelopment agencies. It's a frustrating matter for everyone. So I don't know where the state is going to come out on the end of this, whether it's going to come out through the Assembly and the Senate, and ultimately what the governor will sign. It's a tough thing watching him deal with this, but this is a culmination of multiple years of fiscal irresponsibility on the state, and this problem has been coming for 6 to 8 years, and now there's everything has to be paid for it, and it's unfortunate because who's really suffering is our local people who respect, and I would hope to respect, and also depend on local services provided by local government, and the local governments, including schools, are the ones that are suffering. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, moving into council reports and comments. Councilman.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The Humboldt Transit Authority for 5 months was going through a process of trying to hire a new general manager. And it did turn into be something very contentious. We tried to get it accomplished before the new officers and supervisors were going to be sworn in. It didn't happen. The final result was, and I voted against it, but the final result was to go out and resubmit applications for hiring at a higher pay scale. So that'll take place in the next couple of months, and I'll keep you updated. When we did the presentation for Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans, I wanted to say a couple of things, but at that time it wasn't really appropriate. At this time, I would like to acknowledge for the public to see what that ribbon looks like, the colors. That's your combat ribbon that Vietnam veterans in combat, in other words, they set foot on Vietnam soil, they received that, and there are members of the community that wear hats that show that ribbon along with the rest of the ribbons they received. And there are members of the community that have that on their bumper, on their back window of their car, and they're very proud of that. There are a lot of people that did serve during that time that still suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome from combat that still haven't found resolve with that difficulty. And no matter how hard they try, no matter which services they go through, it still comes and haunts them. And we're finding that out with the members that come back from our armed services with the current combats and engagements. So my heart goes out to those members that are carrying those issues with them. And I also have to compliment the ones that have actually found resolve and made peace with themselves and can live with that. But my hat goes off to you guys. God bless America. God bless our troops. May you be safe and always be away from harm's effects upon you. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Dean. Sue.
I attended the Redwood Coast Energy Authority meeting today, and it's kind of nice to go to it right before the council meeting because I can actually kind of remember what we talked about. And their resources go far beyond what I thought they did. I was actually amazed because today they gave a presentation on the purpose of the Energy Authority, how they get their funding and all those kinds of things, and it was really interesting. I was really surprised. People have asked me for years, Sue, who do I go to get
PG&E credits and how do I get energy information. And, I mean, these guys have everything. I didn't even know it. So now I have a resource to use and to pass on to others, and I think it's going to be really good. I mean, they really do a lot of things that I had no idea. So I felt I got a lot more educated today from their presentation, which they did, of course, because there's so many new people, and it was really good. At the last council meeting, several people spoke up in favor of a BMX dirt bike track, and staff followed through with that. We had a quick little informal meeting on March 15th, and we talked about it. Some of the kids came, some of the parents came, Lenore Borginski, and we just kind of had an informal, here's what we need to research, here's what we need to look into, and Cheryl had some insurance things she's going to check out. The kids had some assignments that they're going to do, and everybody's going to bring back information. So I would just like to thank staff for listening and actually scheduling some meetings, and we're going to have another one on March 29th, I believe it is. So, you know, we're trying to take some steps forward and at least educate the kids on how the process works and what they can do when they want to see something happen in their community. And I was in Spokane visiting my son, and I tell you what, I got hooked on the frisbee golfing, the frothing, calling it. And John Crotty had mentioned that at one of our meetings, that there's some interest in that. And I tell you what, it's pretty fun, even for old people. So I might be going on a campaign to get one of those. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Mike.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be attending the FBID meeting, which will be April 6th, I believe, is the next one, the REDAC meeting on the 28th of this month. And I wanted to just give you an update on an issue that I talked about in the February meeting, which is the Main Street on-ramp to Highway 101. I had requested Caltrans, Ralph Martinelli, who's an engineer there, to look into the possibility of widening, of actually having an on a lane from Main Street to Palmer Boulevard. So he is out of the area, and I believe he'll be back tomorrow, and I'll give you an update when probably the next regular meeting.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
A little update on what's happening with the Coastal Commission nominations. Tomorrow the Board of Supervisors will be receiving nominations, and there are four of us that the board will be deliberating. It's Mark Lovelace, Virginia Bass, Kendall Smith from Mendocino County, and myself. And the cities have, as far as I know, recommended three city council members to HCOG Mayor City Select Committee, and that be Mayor Farley from Ferndale, Alex Stillman from Arcata, and myself from Fortuna. So it looks like the same mix of candidates, except for Virginia Bass and Alex Stillman, that went before the two bodies last go-around. That appointment has to be made before the 10th of April by the governor. Let's see. Wednesday, there will be three of us on the council here participating in the Mayors for Meals program. Will be Mayor Strell, myself, and Sue Long will be pairing up with Fortuna Nutrition Program members to deliver meals to homebound citizens, and we'll be doing that 2 or 3 hours on Wednesday morning. LAFCO was the last meeting I attended, and there were no real serious action items that had to be taken care of, but we did elect officers, and Marty McClellan was re-elected as the chair, and Virginia Bass was elected as the vice chair of Humboldt LAFCO for the following year. There was budget discussions regarding LAFCO's operations, and even though staff recommended a 10% increase in the budget for next year, the chair put together a subcommittee to look at ways of reducing LAFCO's budget. The Town of Scotia
As you probably read in the newspaper, the LAFCO held a protest hearing, and there were insufficient votes to protest the formation of the Scotia CSD, so that's moving forward with the county setting up an election process to first approve the CSD and then elect the board of directors for that organization. The Samoa Peninsula Fire District is asking to be reorganized into a from a single purpose organization to a multi-function organization because they are suffering from financial distress right now. So they're going to apply to provide water, wastewater, and recreational services for the community out in Samoa. The Eureka Sphere of Influence update. It was a topic of conversation. They're asking to eliminate portions of Humboldt Hill in the freshwater area because Humboldt CSD provides services that the city would want to eliminate themselves from. But they are asking for an extension of their sphere of influence in the Indianola area for water service because groundwater contamination in that area is causing problems for residents. The Oric Community Services District has been reorganized. Former Supervisor Jill Duffy has taken on the position of Wastewater Project Manager for the Oric Community Services District. And then the last item we talked about was an interesting recommendation. You also may have seen in the newspaper that there's a group in Southern Humboldt that wants to incorporate and take advantage of the medical marijuana and possibly the soon-to-be legalized recreational marijuana industry. And they're working with LAFCO staff to define a boundary for what would be a new city in Southern Humboldt, and they're looking at the name of Emerald City. And it would stretch from Bembo, Garberville, Redway area, and possibly down into as far south as the Mendocino County county line. So there were a couple of gentlemen there inquiring about what is entailed in developing a new city in Southern Humboldt County. Our next LAFCO meeting will be, I think it's not until May 18th. So if we can do this May meeting somewhere around the 16th or 17th, that would be good for me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I don't have a lot to report on tonight because my meetings aren't until later in the week. I have the HCOG meeting coming up on Thursday, and right after that meeting is the Mayor Selects meeting where we get to select the candidates for Coastal Commission. And then I was going to report on the fact that we get to deliver meals on Wednesday, but Ken covered that really well. Well,
there's more information, I think.
Oh, there's a, that's a, I don't know, on the list, I see you guys with your drivers, and then they got me with a driver, and then I got the photographer.
And the
special.
Yeah,
okay. You got the photographer,
yeah.
And you got the talking point, so yeah. You can be.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys, for that. Next on the agenda, we're going to be going into closed session, and oral comments from the public may be heard on any item in closed session. Speakers addressing the council or the board will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Be advised that by law, neither the city council nor the board is able to deliberate or take action on issues presented during oral comments. And the closed items, there's three of them. The first one is a conference of labor negotiations with the city negotiator, city manager, Dwayne Riggi, employees, organizations, the Fortuna Employees Association, the Fortuna Police Employees Association and the Fortuna Office Employees Association in accordance with Section 54957.6 of the
government code. The second is a conference on real property negotiation in accordance with Section 54957.8 of the government code, property 1410 Garden Lane, negotiating parties, city manager Dwayne Riggi of the city and James and Virginia Moore, a property owners under negotiations, price and terms. The third is a conference of real property negotiation in accordance with Section 54957.8 of the government code. Property is 1350 Garden Lane. Negotiating parties is the city manager, Dwayne Riggi of the city, and Norma Bennett as property owner under negotiation, price and terms. Is there any comments from the public?
This is in regards to items 2 and 3. And it's based on the report, and the Public Works report was talking about easements for the Garden Lane. So I'm wondering if this is related to that. If it is, I just wanted to alert you to the fact that this is a part of the Stewart Street replacement project, and that easements were not, when the discussion was looking at the different possibilities of where to put the tank. In talking about Stewart Street, one of the things that was good about that choice is that you didn't need any easements. But it is, so I guess I'm telling you that was not included in the budget before. And so this is another budget item on, you know, another cost. Thank you.
Thank you.
I make a motion to close public comment period.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to close public comment period. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So closed. Now we will adjourn to closed session.